Good evening, everybody.
Good evening.
We are now in Parashat Pinchas. And of course, when we get to Parashat Pinchas, first of all, it's a very interesting parasha with a lot of people involved. Like we meet Pinchas, Zimri ben Salu, Kozbi Batsur, Datan ve'Aviram, the sons of Korach, the sons of Aaron, and Yoshua. And the daughters of Tzlofchat ben Hefer. So a lot of figures in our parsha. And it's really, the Rav Neventzal says, this is a parsha which is, let's say, we're changing a generation. Or in other words, this is moving from Moshe Rabbeinu to the next generation. Who is going to go on with the job that Moshe Rabbeinu started? And it starts with Pinchas. And this is a very delicate issue, because what Pinchas did is not something that we are simple people allowed to do. So if somebody thinks he can tomorrow morning go and decide, like unfortunately it happened a few times, that he is Pinchas and kill somebody, this is wrong. You shouldn't do it. And that's why we have to understand what's really happening here with Pinchas. Is Pinchas doing the right thing or the wrong thing? So of course he's doing the right thing, because we see that God promised him a covenant of peace, which is also very interesting. In Pasuk 12, Lachen emor, therefore, I'm giving him the covenant of peace. Now I'm asking you, is this not strange? This guy killed somebody, and God is giving him a covenant of peace. An act of killing is an act of war. It's not an act of peace.
But apparently Hashem is telling him, by giving him this, that he approved of the action.
But that's not only approved the action, it's much more, because you can reward him with a lot of things to show that you, okay, it's okay what you did.
Yeah, but he did it in the four piece. He wasn't doing that because he felt like doing it.
Meaning what? What do you mean?
The name of Hashem, he did it.
Because what Zimri ben Salu did was cutting Am Yisrael from the Kodesh Baruch Hu. In other words, ruining the peace. Peace is, in Hebrew, Shlemut. Shlemut is to be all, to be completed. Shalom, peace is Shalom, is Shlemut. Completeness, or how do you say it in English? To be a whole. And we have to be connected to God to be one part. And the minute you sin, we are disconnected. So every action we do to reconnect is an act of peace. So what Pinchas really did, he reconnected Am Yisrael to God again. That's why he got a covenant of peace. Jealousy. Is jealousy good or wrong?
It's good.
In other words, wrong and right is in our hands. Even jealousy, that if somebody says jealousy, what would you say on the spot? Right or wrong?
Wrong.
Negative. And here we see the other side of jealousy.
Zealous.
Zealous. And what is the difference between jealousy, zealous, and when is it good and when is it bad? For example,
when jealousy is for your concern,
yes,
for you as an individual,
yes.
When jealousy is for the whole, it's a different jealousy.
So, jealousy for myself is right or wrong?
For myself,
yes.
No, it's wrong.
Wrong. Jealousy for others?
For others could be right.
It's right. Okay, so again, if what I'm doing is for my own benefit, for me, that's where we're going on a very dangerous way. But when the jealousy is for the other, for example, you know, couples sometimes, they are very jealous of each other. You know, there are women that cannot stand that their husband is talking with other women. And there are men cannot stand that their wife is talking with other women. You know this?
Yeah.
It happens. And sometimes it can get even to levels that it's impossible to live with this spouse. It's impossible because he's so jealous that everything you move, you do, there is something wrong. Now, is it good or wrong?
Wrong.
Why is it wrong? He loves her. She loves him.
He's loving her to death.
Again, it's the same idea. You're right. But why is he doing it? For her or for him?
For him.
That's what's wrong. In other words, what Pinchas is doing is not for himself. He's doing it for God. In other words, if you really love somebody, when are you going to be jealous for him? When somebody is trying to hurt him. So you're going to defend the one you love, not for your own benefit, but for the one you love. That's real love. And that's positive jealousy. The same way, of course, is with God. When you are doing an act of jealousy because you want to gain something out of it, it's wrong. In other words, for Pinchas to do what he did, he had to be, first of all, pure of all self-intentions. No, what we call in Hebrew, negi'ah. Nothing, even not a touch, a small touch for himself. And Or HaChaim HaKadosh really says it, because what's written here in Pasuk 11, Pinchas ben Elazar ben Aaron HaKohen ishiv et chamati ma'abnei Yisrael bekan'o et kin'ati betocham. Now, what is written here? He was very jealous for my sake among them. Says Or HaChaim HaKadosh, that by the way, now is his yahrzeit of the Or HaChaim HaKadosh, Rabbi Chaim Ben Attar, his yahrzeit is tonight and tomorrow. So it's a good thing to mention his words, that the things we're going to be to his Yirui Neshama. Now, Or HaChaim HaKadosh says three things. First of all, as we said, pure with no self-intention. Second, doing it even if it means risking yourself. And third, doing it in public, because otherwise there is no influence. So now we start to understand and realize what is it all about, this jealousy. The Noam Elimelech explains that when Rashi says that the people says, how dare this Pinchas, which is a grandson of a guy that was also Midianite, of Yitro, because his mother was the daughter of Yitro, one of the daughters of Yitro. Elazar HaKohen was married to one of the daughters of Yitro, his father. So in other words, how dare you, which you're mother is not exactly from a good origin. How dare you kill a leader in Am Yisrael? And really, it doesn't look good. Says Noam Elimelech, you're wrong interpreting this thing this way. Because on the contrary, what happened here, what they said, how did we not do anything, and he, which is grandfather was an idol worshipper, he got up and did something. And we were standing there doing nothing. In other words, they got it as a rebuke, a self-rebuke, that they didn't move and do anything. In other words, in his action, he made everybody think and change their attitude.
Made everybody guilty.
Guilty and ashamed. Ashamed and understanding that if something like this happened, what should you do? Get up and do something. We cannot stand aside when things are happening around us and they are wrong. Of course.
He also made the plague stop.
Why?
So what about
it's all connected to the same thing.
What about the gay parade that's been happening today in Jerusalem? What just happened?
I must say, you know, I'm always trying not to talk about those things.
Oh, sorry.
But I'm just generally speaking, my personal opinion is very simple. I think it's wrong, and it's not the right way to do it. I don't see, you are gay. It's like you're not doing intercourse in the middle of the street, do you?
No.
So why do you do a parade in the middle of the street? Now, to call this normal or to be proud, I'm sorry. The Torah is very specific. It's not allowed. Definitely man with man is not allowed. It's written. You don't need interpretation. It's written clearly in the Torah itself. And people are so, let's say, I don't know how to call it even.
Twisted.
Yes, they're so twisted that we got to a level that I heard that one of the rabbis, he calls himself a rabbi, I don't know who he is, he said that because of the other rabbi saying what he said, he is going to participate in the parade of the Boi Nashir Oilam.
Why do they do a parade? I mean,
yeah, what
do
they
do
in
your
house?
But
that's what I said.
I mean, we don't have a parade.
Yeah, why? We should go out. No, be ashamed because we are normal. All the normal should be ashamed.
No, the thing is that somebody last year did behave like Pinchas.
That's what I'm saying. It's wrong. See, that's exactly the point. So, I don't agree with them. I don't think they should have a parade in the middle of the street, but we are not allowed to kill anybody.
No.
That is definitely wrong.
Yeah.
So that's exactly the point which I said. This issue is very delicate. We have to be very careful. That's why I mentioned what Ora Chaim HaKadosh is saying. If you can get to the level of Pinchas, which I have to say, nobody can. Not us. This is a very, very high level. Because you have to understand, what is Pinchas really doing? He's going in the middle of the camp of Shevet Shimon and killing their leader. Now, what do you think? Is this not a suicide mission?
Well, he's trying to protect the rest of Israel.
Yeah, but doing this is...
Yeah, sure.
This is a suicide mission.
Of course it is.
He's doing this heroic thing, knowing... that he's not going to get a life out of it.
But they didn't come after him and kill him.
Okay. That's a miracle. That's what I'm saying, that the Gemara says there are so many miracles that happened here.
And he became a Kohen?
Yes.
Yes.
One of the main opinions says that till now he was not a Kohen, and because of what he did, he became a Kohen. And that's another interesting lesson. The Yud in Pinchas is small. If you look in the Torah, here, I don't think you'll see it here.
No.
But in... in the Torah itself,
it's a bit big, smaller.
Yeah, it is smaller in the beginning.
And by the way, a lot of people write Pinchas without a yud.
It is smaller.
So in the
it
Torah,
small.
It is also
yeah,
small.
It's
small.
You got some of
that. Why is it small?
You got the depth.
Why is it small? What do you think? The Rav Zalman Soroskin says a brilliant idea, unbelievable. He says, Yud, we can call it a Jew. Yehudi, Yud, Yehudi. In each one of us, there is greatness. But sometimes it's inside, we don't see it. Pinchas, till now, does anybody know him? Who is? Did you read something about Pinchas till now?
No.
We don't know who this guy is. Now, think about this. Moshe Rabbeinu, Elazar HaKohen, all the 70 great people of Am Yisrael, and all the others standing there, seeing this guy coming with the Midianite, doing what? Not only doing nothing, crying. Would you step up and do something? In front of all the Gdoilim?
Yeah.
No. What is Pinchas doing? He's getting up and doing it. That's why it's got this small you, to teach us, each one of us, that in each one of us there is great power. But sometimes we don't see it. It's a small yud. Small Yehudi. Yehudi Katan. A small Jew. But there is no small Jew. It looks maybe like it. But each one of us got great powers. And look what this guy did. He changed everything. He saved Am Yisrael. That's why the yud is small. And I think it's an unbelievable explanation to the small yud. So we see now that jealousy can go the right side and the wrong side. And by the way, who is meeting here? Look at who are those guys. From one side, Pinchas, from what tribe? Levi.
Yeah.
And who is the guy is killing? Zimri ben Salu, from what tribe?
Shimon.
Does this ring a bell? Does this ring a bell? Shimon ve'Levi achim, klei chamas mechoratehem. They're getting a blessing that looks like a curse more than a blessing. When Yaakov Avinu is blessing them, he says, I'm going to spread you out. And he says, klei chamas mechoratehem, you did wrong what you did. I'm not going to, they're very hard word. And from the other side, they tell us this is a blessing. What blessing is it? But the truth is, it's a blessing. Because the real blessing of the blessing of Yaakov was telling each one of the sons his powers. And with Shimon ve'Levi, a big lesson. Two tribes with the same qualities, but using them in different ways. If you remember the golden calf, there's only one tribe that didn't participate.
Levi.
If we look now here, who is the one who is doing the wrong thing? Shimon. And who is the one who is doing the right thing? Levi. In other words, the big lesson here is, you can get the same qualities, the same powers, and you can use them. In other words, they both have this jealousy inside. But one is taking it to the highest positive way that you can take it. And the other is taking it to the lowest. And by the way, if we go back to the last parsha, the same story. Moshe and Bila. Two figures that got a lot of power, the same power as the Midrash says.
Yeah.
One is getting up to heaven, and the other one is getting so low that there is no lowest than he is getting. So in other words, it's not that God gives us something bad. Everything that God gives is good. The thing is, what do we do with God? God is giving us. So here again, even with the way of Pinchas, the Torah, our sages say, "Alacha ve'en morim kach." This is halacha, but you don't tell nobody to do it. That's why our Chaim HaKadosh says that it was so, and you have to understand, you know, it's so delicate, all everything was happening here. Because, for example, halachically, if Zimri ben Salu would turn his head in the middle of the act and kill Pinchas, what would it be? A murder or defending himself? Nobody could take him to court. And if Pinchas would have killed them 2 minutes later after the action, what was he?
Murder.
A murder. In other words, when you test what's happening here, you cannot do what Pinchas did. You cannot. You're not allowed to. Because you have to do it in the middle of the action, after warning him, according to the halacha, and only then when he's not listening to you, understanding what he's doing is wrong, and doing it, and in the middle of the action you kill him, that's the only way when it's allowed. 2 minutes earlier, 2 minutes later, that's it. You're not allowed to do it. That's why I'm saying, when we learn what Pinchas did, we have to be very clear about it and very careful. As we unfortunately see, people are doing, like the guy who killed Rabin.
So before you take it,
also thought he is Pinchas. But he's definitely not Pinchas. Yes.
So before you take any action, you have to give a lot of thought into it and good planning.
It's very interesting what you're saying.
I know.
That's exactly the point. And because of this, you cannot do this. Because what Pinchas did, he did it on the spot.
Yeah.
But he did it from the pure intention, risking his life, and doing everything on the spot. Which, again, we're talking about, that's why he's got this covenant. We're talking about somebody who is really unbelievable. That's why what we learn from this, because we have to learn, that when we see something that is wrong and we have it in our power to fight against it, we should fight against it. We should kill the action, not the man, not the human being. Kill the action. So if we have it in our power to stop Mitzad HaGaava, this gay parade, we should stop it. Unfortunately, we haven't got the power. So you don't go and kill people. But definitely you're not going to be a part of it.
But the mayor said he's not participating.
I'm saying the mayor's got more brain than this Rav. Mm-hmm. That's what I'm saying. That's an absolute, and that's, by the way, I must say it, you know, we are trying, and in the last, let's say, I think the last 5, 10, maybe 10 years even, we're trying to be okay with everybody. And I'm sorry to tell you, it's wrong, it doesn't work. The Torah is very clear about things. And the minute you try and give up on certain things, what's happening? We see what's happening.
Can't please everybody.
No. So what do you do? There is a way of the Torah. No Rav, I didn't hear no Rav saying, go and kill all the gays.
No.
Did you hear Rav say like this?
No.
No. They say it's wrong. Which is, they're quite right, it's wrong. You cannot make the right wrong. And the wrong right. Doesn't work. But to go and be proud of it? That's an absurd. You know, I read last week a beautiful article about a Rav, and the Rav, I think, is even from Bet Hillel. Like, this is really a Rav that is going all the way to try and to go as easy as he can. And he was talking about the feminism and women wanting to do the job of men and men doing the job of women. And he says, unfortunately, checking what's happening, it's getting up. If a woman tries to be a man and a man tries to be a woman, so maybe here you see them doing this job. But when you check, you see that the let's say the characteristics of a man and a woman, they get out in a different way. For example, you can see women dressed today in a showy way, showing half of their bodies.
Yeah.
And this wasn't, let's say, 10, 20 years ago. It didn't go like this in the street. Maybe a one or two, but...
I have a picture.
Yes.
Of my grandparents at a bar mitzvah before I was born.
Yeah, yeah.
Mm-hmm. And all the women are wearing strapless dresses.
Yeah, I'm saying, but that's
that was in 19.
Yeah, that was the flowers and the things and all those meshigas. But that's not what's
America.
Happening today, I'm sorry.
Yeah, in America.
If you go on the beach today, what you see today on the beach, you didn't see 10 years ago.
Okay.
and not 15 years ago. Definitely not 20 years ago.
I just want to say something.
And what you call a bikini 20 years ago is not what you see today. I'm sorry to say. You can say they go strapless, but today they don't go strapless, they go less. With nothing.
Well, I just want to say something. I've got a matter pellet from Sri Lanka, from Ceylon, and she's absolutely appalled by the way people dress here in summer.
I told you, a few weeks ago, I think, that we have this guy in Shul that used to work with Japan. And he was amazed when he get there to this big office building. And, you know, they have this open space. And you have maybe, I don't know, 100 girls on the floor. And said, so you look and you think you see 100 times the same girl. They're all dressed alike. Long skirts, white shirts to here, modest, beautiful women, beautiful girls, but modest in Japan.
Japan.
And that's a code of dress. You're not allowed to come to work otherwise.
So when I was working in high school, and there was an Italian principal, and in America, you weren't allowed to tell people how to dress. It was against the law. He used to stand by the door, and if he said, you can't learn like that, he'd send them home.
Which is quite right. And we see where we got us. Look what's happening today. Look how they're going around the streets.
What happened really
is they're very conservative.
The teachers themselves broke the system.
From
not the students, but the teachers.
That's where it starts.
Because I saw a teacher with her kids with a plunging neckline and shorts, and I said, that's not the way for a teacher to dress.
So
I never got a reply.
So that's what this rabbi is writing. It was very interesting. He was checking and showing that, you know, if you, if you depress yourself, if you hold yourself in a certain place, so it comes out from another way. Because it has to come out. Because women are women and men are men. That's it. That's a fact. You cannot change it. Like the other night, I'm listening to this program, and those feminist women are talking about laws that are good for men but not suitable to women. Says Ribbono Shel Olam, what did you say now? What did you say? You're admitting that a woman is a woman and a man is a man. And that's the fact. They were talking about laws that good for men but not good for women. Which means that a man is different from a woman. Then this doctor came out and he says, even when you give medicine, you give different quantities to a woman than you give to a man. In other words, there is nature, the way God created it, and that's the way which we call normal. Any other way is not normal. In other words, it's not a reason to be proud. We can tolerate it, because unfortunately we have it. But to make it a thing to be proud of?
To glorify it?
I'm sorry. Something here is definitely wrong. And that's what Zimri ben Salu is doing. He's taking this woman in front of everybody. This is Mitzvah Gava.
Yeah.
In a different aspect. But it's the same thing. So as we said, we have to put things in proportion and understand and realize. We have to try to do it in peace, with common sense, being very delicate about it, but we have to stand on our true way. Impossible to agree with things which are not normal. Where is it leading us? We can go in history back. Sodom and Gomorrah. That's what it was. Do whatever you want, with whom you want, when you want. Okay. Anyway, Pinchas is getting the covenant of peace. And then, when we go on, we discover another unbelievable thing. And this is, the Torah, there are a lot of interesting, the Parsha is full with a lot of interesting figures, but we cannot talk about all of them. So we try to see another interesting point. If you remember, Korach, you remember what happened with Korach? What happened with Korach?
Swallowed up.
Yeah, but what? Why?
Because he conspired against. He was jealous of Moshe.
So he was the leader of a conspiracy. Yes, that's what we think. Now you will find out in our parsha that's not the case. You want to see where it's written? Let's look at it. Okay, when we go, we're starting to again to count the people, but here it's a very interesting thing. It's mishpacha. The family, 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 family. It's not tribes, it's not people, it's families. Again, to teach us the power of the family. Because we are talking here about passing the things to the next generation. And the power that can contribute to this, to do it in the right way, is your family. Because if you have a good family behind you, you have good results. If you have a bad family behind you, that's, let's see who it is. Pasuk 9. Pasuk 9, Perek Kafvav. Yes, Kafvav. Perek Kafvav, Pasuk 9. Got it?
Yeah.
Uvne Eliav, Nemuel, Vedatan ve'aviram. Remember them?
Yeah.
Who Datan ve'aviram? Now listening. We said Datan ve'aviram, and now the Torah again is telling us who. By the way, who? Who is singular or plural?
Singular.
In other words, those two are called like one. Who Datan ve'aviram? Kri'ei ha'eda. Asher itzu al Moshe v'Aaron. What did they do? What did Datan v'Aviram do? What's the Torah telling us here? They went against Moshe Rabbeinu and Aaron in the company of Korah.
Yeah.
What's happening? Pasuk 10. Vatiftach ha'aretz et pia, and the earth opened her mouth. Vativla otam, and swallowed them up. Who did it swallow? Et Korach, bemota eda, be'achol la'esh, et 50 Korach with the 250 people, va'ilenes, and then Pasuk 11, something unbelievable happens. What? Uvnei Korach lo metu. Now, I'm asking you a question. Why didn't we hear this when we were talking about Korach ve'adato? No, nothing is written there that they were saved. You said Korach was swallowed in the. Sorry?
They said the whole family.
Yes?
Well, there's nothing written here about Datan and Aviram being swallowed up as well.
They were the associate of Korach.
No, no, it's Vativlaut Aretz, it's Pia Vativlautam, it's written. Pasuk 10. It's the continuance of what's that? Yeah. But if Otam, who is Otam? Swallow them. Who is them? Yeah. Datan ve'Aviram, everybody. But there is something else. I want to look in the psukim and think. If you read this now without knowing the story, who is the one, or who is the one who is leading this
punishment?
No. Who is one who is leading this riot?
Rebellion.
That's what's written here. Read it again. It's unbelievable. Korach is not the figure who is doing it. Korach is influenced by Datan ve'Aviram. And now things are starting to get a little clearer. Why? because our sages ask. Korach, who was a very clever guy and a great tzaddik, Mara Aleshtutzo, why did he get himself involved in this thing? And there are a lot of answers and we know them, but here we find a different story. And if we think about it, it sounds much more reasonable. We have those two figures, Datan v'Aviram, which are real great villains. They're all the time involved in all the riots and everything. And they got to Korach, which had this guy who had the Holy Spirit with him. He had the power of prophecy. He was a tzaddik. And the proof, by the way, is that he educated his kids in the best way, because the kids are doing what? They do tshuva, they live. So who is the one behind this thing? Datan v'Aviram. Those two figures managed to drag this tzaddik Korach to this thing. So if we thought till now that the one that is leading this thing is Korach, here we see a different picture. And that's why maybe we understand why Moshe Rabbeinu is going to them, trying to talk with them, trying to talk them reason, after they didn't agree to come to him. Because Moshe Rabbeinu realizes that if he can convince Datan v'Aviram to stop it, Korach will also stop. Because he's not trying to convince Korach. It's unbelievable. In other words, another big lesson. Get as far as you can from bad friends. As far as you can. Because even if you are tzaddik, they can get to you. They got to Korach. And it's very easy. Because Yetzer Hara is everywhere, with everybody. And by the way, how did it happen, this all disaster in the last parasha, which Pinchas saved Am Yisrael, but he saved them after 24,000 people died? What was happening? How did they do it? Bilam HaRasha, after seeing that he couldn't curse Am Yisrael, gave a suggestion to Balak. You want to win? The only way is you make them sin. Now, how do you make a tzaddik sin? You don't confront him with the sin. You don't tell him, come and sin. He's not going to come. So what do? Bilam told him, you do a mark, you put a canyon, a big mall you build. At that time it was with tents. And you sell them what they need. And you do special offers. Now what do you need in the desert?
What?
Light clothes. And now if we want to think, let's say, they're coming out of Egypt. They have sheep, they have cattle. In other words, what are their clothes made of?
Wool.
Is this in the desert? What do you think? Is it hot?
No.
Oh, very hot. If you want, what are the best clothes in the desert?
Linen and cotton.
Pishtan, linen. Now, what do they offer them? Linen, pishtan. Light, airy, in special prices. Now, okay, that's not, you're not sinning because of this. Now, in the front of the shop, there was this old lady, dressed very modest, and got the stuff. And when the guy was interested in the stuff, he told him, you want something better? Inside, we have much better merchandise and special deals. How do you say, 2 for 1, 1 for 2, 2 for 1, 2 with 2, you buy 1, you get 2, you got the, inside, go in. Now, when he went inside, really unbelievable clothes. And?
Unbelievable woman.
A beautiful young girl, half naked. And she's trying to smile to him, talking to him, and you know. Yetzirah is there. And eventually, she is offering herself to him, but when his desire is climbing up, tells him, before we do anything, you bow to my idol. So they did two things. They made Am Yisrael sin with them and worship idols. Then that was all the Eitza of Bilam HaRasha.
Temptation.
And then the disaster happened, and then Zimri ben Salu comes with the girl, the Midianite girl, and then Pinchas gets up and stops it all. And we'll end our shiur with another interesting point, which is, who is going to take the lead after Moshe Rabbeinu? Yoshua. And who is Yoshua? Again, somebody that we don't know, and the only thing we know about him, that he is the servant of Moshe. No, really. A servant of Moshe, he is the one who is going to lead the people after Moshe Rabbeinu.
Why not? He saw the way he behaved. But
isn't he connected with the...
Who should lead them?
Isn't he connected with the 12 spies, Caleb?
Yes. But Caleb and Ephraim and Joshua, the only spies that didn't participate in the plan, and they went against. And one of them was Joshua. And Joshua is the one who is being chosen to lead Am Yisrael after Moshe Rabbeinu. And the question is Yoshua ben Nun really the right figure to lead Am Yisrael? And if we think about it and we look at exactly what Yoshua ben Nun is doing, he's not exactly the right figure to be the leader. He's not connected to the people at all. When Moshe Rabbeinu coming down from the mountain, when the people are doing the golden calf, he is asking Yoshua, what is this noise? Says he doesn't realize what the noise is. He doesn't know what it's all about. Nevertheless, he's not involved in anything. He's waiting for Moshe Rabbeinu to get down off the mountain. In other words, Moshe Rabbeinu told him, I'm going for 40 days and 40 nights. So a normal guy would do what? Go back to the camp. And after 39 days, will come and wait for his rabbi. But this guy, Yoshua, he stays there, doesn't move. Stays underneath the mountain, doesn't know what's happening in the camp. Now, I wrote about it also in the Dvar Torah of this week. If you want to choose a leader, where would you look? In the Koilel? In the Yeshiva? Or in the general public? What will be the qualification that you want from a leader to lead the people? That he knows Torah? Or he knows about economic...
Knows people.
So who do I choose? A yeshiva bachur that sits in a yeshiva doesn't know what's happening outside? No. Not connected to anything?
No.
Definitely not. But the Torah tells us, yes, you choose a leader that is in the Torah. Because the power of the Torah is a power who gives you the right way to look at things in a way that you are not going to be, how do you say, not going to lead yourself to the wrong way. You are going to go on the right way, because the way of the Torah to look at things, you are not bribed. You're looking at it straight how it is. And because of the Torah, you get powers to see. And that's we see that our only today, or also today. People sometimes go to a rabbi and ask him about business, asking about health. And sometimes you see those rabbis, for example, Rav Firer, that is, he didn't learn anything in university about medicine, but he knows more from the doctors. The Chazon Ish, he showed a brain surgeon how to operate on the brain. And he was not agreeing with him in the beginning. And after he showed him a sketch, I saw the letter with the sketch. How he showed him how to do the operation. A guy that never learned medicine. But he learned Torah. Because everything is in the Torah. In other words, if we want to go in the right way is
the not Torah. All the time. Rabbi Akiva's students, look at them. Did they learn Torah all the time?
Yeah, but you see, the Torah, that's exactly the point. Torah is not only on the outside. That's what they say, the small Jew, it's in the inside. So if outside you look like a Talmud Chacham, but inside you're rotten, doesn't help. If you take the Torah, what did Rabbi Akiva say? Ve'ahavta le'reacha kamucha ze klal gadol b'Torah. The first thing is, you should love your fellow man. Then you can learn Torah. Then you can do the way of the Torah. But because the way of the Torah is the way of love. You don't sit in a yeshiva and learn, and you don't care about anybody else. That's not the way of the Torah. The way of the Torah is to be involved, to be a part of the congregation, not to put yourself aside. The way of the Torah is not only the outside, it's the inside. And we have the power. That's the small yud that we said in Pinchas. As long as we go in the way of the Torah, we get the power and we can move things and do things that are unbelievable. So what we learn from our parsha is that first of all, jealousy can be positive and can be negative. And the main thing is we have powers. Because a lot of times we think this is too big on us. So think twice and think about Pinchas. Think about the small yud that is in each one of us. This small yud, inside we have powers that sometimes you don't see them. But in the right moment, you can use them. But you have to know that you've got them. And we've got them. That's why we see that the one who is chosen to go and lead after Moshe Rabbeinu is Yoshua. Because Yoshua ben Nun, he doesn't care about others unless they go in the way of the Torah. That's why he stands up against all the meraglim. He and Caleb ben Yefuneh. They are saying you cannot go into the Eretz Yisrael. What is Yoshua ben Nun saying? You can. That's a leader. Be'ezrat Hashem, I can only say that, as I said in the beginning, what Pinchas did is a very delicate issue. We have to be very careful when we learn the parsha. But what we are to learn is that when you see something wrong, you should act accordingly. You should do something. You cannot stay and stand and look at it.
Can be a bystander.
Yeah.